are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. Brian Peacock with you here once again. If you don't know me, I'm formerly of Pro Football Focus, an analyst over there. I used to write for RotoWire doing some fantasy stuff, a producer at KNBR, a currently radio sports and traffic reporter in the Bay Area. This is Locked On 49ers, your daily podcast for the San Francisco 49ers. We are in full draft season mode, taking you through every angle, pre and post-draft on Locked On 49ers the rest of the month, April. It's what it's all about. We're here. It's draft month. We're draft crazy out there on the internet right now. It's time to reveal my big board. We haven't checked in on how I rank these players in a while. And last time I talked about them, it was only, you know, only went about 10 deep to cover what the 49ers would be looking at. Pick number 9 overall, but I'm going to take it a little bit deeper. 25 or 30 players, how I see it for the 49ers, how I would stack the board right now if the draft was today. There will be some revisions before draft day, but this is kind of the tiered system, how I am going to look at it early in the draft when it comes to my shadow draft for the 49ers and how I think it should kind of look now that we've seen a lot of the tape. We've seen a lot of these players play throughout their college career. We've seen all their workouts now in the postseason. Almost all the workouts and pro days are done. So it's time to check back in on the big board. Things unchanged at the very top of things. Before we get to that, some big news around the NFL. A trade crazy offseason in the NFL. And I got to admit, it's a lot of fun. This is fun, man. It's a lot more fun when teams are trading and teams a little bit looser. I think some of the more old school GMs that played things a little tighter have moved on, and some younger GMs and these guys talk more and texting, and there's a lot of trades going on in the league, and it's a lot of fun for fans, and the league never sleeps. That's why I can do a daily show about one single team and still be here four or five times a week throughout the postseason and the offseason. So we're going to continue to talk draft all the way through the rest of the month. Then we're going to go back and look back at all the things that happened during the draft, break down all the players in May, and then we've got training camp, and so it never stops. The NFL truly never sleeps. And one thing is becoming clear. It's going to be a fun year in the NFC West, and the Los Angeles Rams are not screwing around in 2018. They have made another addition to their roster of an offseason full of moves and full of additions for the Los Angeles Rams. They've now traded for Brandon Cooks, former Saints and now former New England Patriots wide receiver. New England gets the Rams first rounder, number 23 overall, and I believe a sixth round pick in trade. If you're keeping score, this offseason, LA has added cornerbacks Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, defensive lineman Ndamukong Suh, and now wide receiver Brandon Cooks to their already pretty good roster that did a lot of big things in Sean McVay's first year as head coach last year. This is a funny tweet after this trade went down from Jeff Darlington, who works at the NFL Network. He said, quote, "There is something slightly ironic about the team with the 32-year-old head coach and the 23-year-old quarterback acting like it's the last year on earth, while the team with the 65-year-old coach and 40-year-old quarterback seemingly plans for the distant future." And I wonder how much of this trade for the Patriots is about the distant future and how much of it is for this. And maybe some other happenings and some other movement here on draft day. More about that in a second. This from Michael David Smith, breaking down what it looks like contract-wise and what the Rams are doing. This is very short-sighted. Brandon Cooks in the last year of his contract. So is Aaron Donald. LaMarcus Joyner is on the franchise tag for the Rams. Sue is on a one-year deal. Aqib Talib, 2 years left on his deal, but you know the Broncos are ready to move on from him. Maybe he's not worth his high salary anymore at his advanced age. He's over the age of 30 as a cornerback, and that's when things start to go in the wrong direction there for their careers. Todd Gurley, Marcus Peters' salaries skyrocketing in 2019. Andrew Whitworth is also turning 37, and he was a big part of really solidifying that offensive line for the Rams last year. So going forward, they still have a lot of question marks. The big one, Aaron Donald. I wonder if it's sending a message to Aaron Donald and he's thinking like, oh, maybe I'm not even going to get paid here with the Rams. I got to go do something else. Or maybe the Rams are sitting there thinking, look, we've got a cheap quarterback for a short time. Let's pay some other people for that short time, see how good we can do. And then we have to pay Donald and then eventually have to pay Jared Goff. But in the meantime, we have the means. Let's have fun and let's go for this thing. So that's what they're doing. I can't say I'm against what they're doing right now. Could bite them if some of this doesn't turn out and some of the mercenary style of these moves in this offseason kind of is reminiscent of the Philadelphia Eagles and the old Washington Redskins, who a few years back have always won the offseason, and then it didn't always come, you know, it didn't always turn out that way during the regular season, because you can't win games in March. You still got to go win those games October, November, December, January, obviously, if you're in the playoffs. So we'll see how this turns out for the Rams, but they're really loading up. Very interesting angle for the Patriots on this trade. And this is according to Benjamin Albright on Twitter, a plugged-in radio guy from Denver. And he's got some good sources. He's right often on a lot of things. He said he's heard New England loves UCLA quarterback Josh Rosen. So then you start to think, okay, New England loading up on some picks. And by the way, New England getting a year of rookie contract Brandon Cooks, trading away, what was it, pick 32, right? Overall for Brandon Cooks, and then coming back and getting a better first-round pick for him after a year. So that's a nice return on their investment. They basically turned him over after a year and got more than they paid originally back in return for that Brandon Cooks trade. So can't say I hate that for the New England Patriots as far as value trading and then trading for and then trading away Brandon Cooks. This from Samuel Gold on Twitter, looking at the old trade chart. So Patriots now have pick number 23 worth 760 points by the old chart. And this isn't gospel with the trade chart, but it lines up a lot. And I think a lot of teams kind of use this algorithm for valuing trades and valuing picks when they move around on draft day. Number 31, their original first round pick, 600 points. Number 43 is worth 470 points. That is the old 49ers pick that they traded to New England for Jimmy Garoppolo. And then pick number 63 early in the second, or at the end of the second round, 276 points. So those picks, two firsts, two seconds, have a total value of 2,106 points. And according to the trade chart, that's worth the third or fourth overall pick. And so this is, again, this is from Samuel Gold, who's been a friend of the show, been here on Locked On 49ers. He says, imagine the Browns getting those four picks, two firsts, two seconds. They would have nine picks in the first two rounds. The Patriots could conceivably go up as high as they want if they did want to go get that future franchise quarterback, even as high as the top five. So very interesting stuff there. A lot of possibilities right now around the NFL with a few teams starting to stack up on picks and the needs and the way this is starting to stack with quarterbacks. By the way, quarterbacks not making an appearance on my initial big board here of 25 to 30 guys. This from Adam Schefter. New England is now armed with double ones, double twos, and in prime position to move up in the draft to select a quarterback if it so chooses. So you're thinking, ooh, maybe this could benefit the 49ers. Maybe around pick number, maybe they don't want to trade both firsts and both seconds to move up. Maybe they want to just trade both firsts, or maybe a first and a couple seconds, or a first and a second and a future first, or something like that. So after the Brandon Cooks trade, the Patriots, two first rounders, 23 and 21, worth almost exactly what the ninth overall pick is worth, 1360 and 1350 points for the ninth overall pick. If they wanted to trade up and buzz the 49ers and offer a trade there to move up on draft day from 23 and 31 and get up to number nine. So San Francisco conceivably could help New England replace their future franchise quarterback that they stole away in October. So some interesting possibilities there. It's fun to think about if it came full circle. And what if that one, and what if that pick was involved too? If the pick that the 49ers used to get Jimmy Garoppolo was in turn traded back to the 49ers in a deal that let the Patriots move up to get a quarterback. Interesting stuff. It's all fun to talk about and fun to think about. And the NFL keeps churning out some fun trades and a lot of offseason movement going on in 2018. All right, let's move it along. Let's talk about the 49ers draft and my 2018 big board. As I teased at the top of the show, not a lot has moved for me with the top of the draft, and the top four prospects in this draft remain the same. Those four players are number one, Bradley Chubb, defensive end out of North Carolina State. Number two, Quentin Nelson, guard from Notre Dame. Number three, Minkah Fitzpatrick, defensive back out of Alabama. And number four, linebacker Roquan Smith from the University of Georgia. That was my top tier of prospects dating back to the end of the season. December, January, that was the postseason. That was the top four guys. Those are still my top four players. That has not changed. I really like those guys. I think there's some tier movement here, and I think some players behind them have maybe gotten a little bit closer in my mind. The more I've watched and seen workouts and just studied a lot more players, I would say, those are definitely still my top four players. I would say the tier moved from behind Roquan Smith to behind Quentin Nelson. I think there's a top tier of just two players for me now. And there's no quarterbacks here. So if we were talking quarterbacks, there would be some other, this would be a completely different conversation. 49ers have their guy right now in Jimmy Garoppolo. They've already paid him. The quarterbacks are not entering this discussion for me, at least, early. No day one, day two quarterbacks. Day three, 49ers can start looking at quarterbacks again, maybe bringing someone in to compete, be the number three guy, compete with C.J. Beathard for the backup job potentially. But right now, no quarterbacks are involved with this, which is great for the 49ers because that just pushes more of these talented players down. So I think really it's Bradley Chubb, it's Quentin Nelson in a tier of their own right now, and there's a bit of a gap there before he gets to the rest of these guys. And then the next tier of players, still Minkah Fitzpatrick and Roquan Smith are at the top of that tier, but there's not as big of a drop, I think, between those guys and the next few players that I would be choosing from at this point in the draft. And if you're – okay, so the 49ers are picking number nine. If four quarterbacks go in the top nine or top eight – in front of the 49ers, which right now it's looking very likely that that's going to be the case, whether it's the teams that are picking there now or another team coming up to move in and draft a guy. And look, if not, the 49ers are probably going to be getting phone calls at number nine, which might be even better in the long run if only three quarterbacks have gone there. But you really only have to go five deep. If four quarterbacks go, you only need five more players, and you're there. You're at pick number nine. And I've already talked about four of those guys. So only one player has to go in the top nine that I didn't list: Bradley Chubb, Quentin Nelson, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Roquan Smith. One more player goes in there, I've still got one of my guys from my original top tier of players. And I haven't even mentioned Saquon Barkley yet. And there's a very likely chance that he is one of those players that goes. So four quarterbacks and Saquon Barkley, the 49ers are pretty much guaranteed, if that's how it plays out, which I think it will on draft day, 49ers are guaranteed to have one of those players I mentioned already sitting there at pick number nine. My guess, Roquan Smith is going to be that guy who's the number one player on my board when the 49ers are on the clock at pick number nine. And I would still absolutely be answering phone calls if that were the case on draft day. But some things could get weird. Maybe one of those other players falls instead. Maybe a couple other, and there's some other good players here. So let me talk about the rest of this second tier I have. So Minkah Fitzpatrick, Roquan Smith, those are the beginnings of this next tier after the first tier of Bradley Chubb and Quentin Nelson. Just a quick rewind. Just if you don't know a lot about these players, let me talk about the guys I just talked about already. So Bradley Chubb, the reason he's the number one guy on my board, stud every down defensive end. He can get after the quarterback. He's athletic, ran a 4.65 at 6'4 and 265 pounds. The dude's a monster. He can soften the edge with his power. He's got great hands, so he can get around offensive tackles. He can play the run like a beast. He's nonstop motor, which is so important for a pass rusher. If there's one player I would trade up for in this draft, a very few slight number of picks, it would be Bradley Chubb. Ideally, if the 49ers could package pick number nine and one of their two third-round picks and get up maybe two, three picks ahead of where they're at, I would absolutely do that for Bradley Chubb. Stud defensive end, it's a position that's getting hard to find really good players at in the NFL right now, and I think it's going to push up some other players that maybe talent-wise would be not as high on my list. But players like defensive ends are going to rise up on my board, and players like running backs are going to be a lot lower than you might see just based on how good they are in their position group, just because of positional value. So Bradley Chubb, stud defensive end, would really solidify that front seven and really stamp the defensive line as one of the best young defensive lines, and possibly an amazing defensive line, one of the best defensive lines in the league going forward, to get that edge complete rusher to complete the package with a lot of the talent they've got going on already with DeForest Buckner and Solomon Thomas and Sheldon Day and Ronald Blair and Eric Armstead and a lot of really good talented rotational pieces. But that stud defensive end, that's the last piece they need. Number two, Quentin Nelson, one of the best guard prospects I've ever seen. So athletic at his size. He looks like he's still wearing his shoulder pads underneath his t-shirt when he was working out as his pro day. And as far as workouts go, he put up great numbers too, despite his size at 6'5", 230, 6'4", 6'5", 230, or 330 pounds. He's a monster. He's a freak of nature. He destroys guys at the college level. He is just pancaking everybody, a man amongst boys. People are comparing him to Larry Allen and Hall of Fame guards already. He's just one of the best pure guard prospects that most people, including myself, have seen in a very long time coming out into the NFL draft. So very easy selection and positional value be damned there. So Minkah Fitzpatrick, the reason you might be asking, there's some other really good defensive backs, Derwin James and Denzel Ward and some other corners that might be a good fit. Minkah Fitzpatrick is ahead of those guys because I see him as not a tweener. I see him as a flexible player who could be a 10-year starter at free safety. He could be a 10-year starter at strong safety. He could be a 10-year starter as an outside cornerback in the NFL. And a position that's growing and growing and growing in importance on third downs, maybe the best place to put him is in the slot. Just a complete stud player. He's got long speed. He's got quicks. He's got toughness. He's got leadership. And most of all, he's got instincts. Just across the board, an awesome player. Ran 4.47 at the combine. 6 feet, just a little over 6 feet, 205 pounds, something like that. Just a very complete player. Love his competitiveness, his leadership. You could just plug him in as a starter and forget about it. Minkah Fitzpatrick, a really good player. Roquan Smith, number four. The reason I love Roquan Smith, first of all, athletic is all get out for a linebacker. He ran a 4.51 at his pro day. You see him on the field, he just runs down everybody. It's so fun to watch. Him in the college football playoff was amazing. Perfect fit for a weak side linebacker. Could play some middle linebacker, I think. He would need to work on how he takes on blocks because that's the only weakness he has in his game. 6'1", 236 pounds. He's slightly undersized, but he's not that much smaller than Patrick Willis was. He measured up bigger than Reuben Foster did. He needs just work on technique-wise. He's not a weak player. He just needs work technique-wise, using his hands, shedding blocks instead of slipping blocks. He's so athletic, he can just slip blocks all day and go run and get ball carriers. But good blitzer off the edge or inside, and an awesome cover guy too with all his athleticism. He's a perfect fit in this day and age for what you need out of an every down linebacker. And the way the 49ers use their linebackers as a weak side backer, just an amazing fit, awesome football player. Roquan Smith's number four on my board. So moving on past those players, Tremaine Edmonds for me is coming in at number five. And the next three guys are very close, and which finish out my second tier of players. But number five, and it was tough to get to this point with Tremaine Edmonds because he's all projection. I talked about Roquan Smith and his instincts and him being able to go get the ball carriers and so fun to watch. Tremaine Edmonds is completely different. Tremaine Edmonds is 6'5", 250 pounds, also ran a 4.5. One of the things I love about him at that size is he can be a tight end eraser. He's got that rare ability and athleticism to cover a tight end down the field because he's got length as well as athleticism, even though Roquan Smith is a great cover guy too, and maybe even a better cover guy. But Tremaine Edmonds at 6'5 is almost as athletic as Roquan Smith. And when he sees the play and he goes and takes off, then he can chase people down like nobody's business. He's got long arms. He's got length. For me to think he's going to be a very good strong side linebacker, he can cover. He can get after the quarterback a little bit. You can decide what you want him to be and then groom him to be that player. The reason he's not as high, despite his athletic gifts, and by the way, only 19 years old, so he's a pup still. But the reason he's not ahead of Roquan Smith, despite his athletic gifts, is the instincts. He played like middle linebacker for Virginia Tech. Does not have the instincts. Steps slow, gets sucked up into the line of scrimmage off the snap, false steps. He can get blocked because of that and get washed out, get lost in the trash and in the middle of a play. And it's in the end, he's just not as good of a football player yet as someone like Roquan Smith. But the potential is there, and the potential to be not only an off-ball linebacker but also a pass rusher. He could even put his hands on the ground. He might be a 265-pound, 25-year-old when it's all said and done. Not sure where he's at, but it's very close between these next few guys. And Tremaine Edmonds, I think, is there's a little space there for me after Roquan for Tremaine Edmonds. But I get why he's going to go high, and I think if I had to bet that he will go ahead of Roquan Smith, and he might be the first guy who's a non-quarterback to go off the board after Chubb and Nelson. And Saquon Barkley, obviously, he's not in my second tier of players here, but he's going to go high, I believe, in this draft. Derwin James is the next guy up, number six for me. Strong safety out of Florida State. The reason I have Minkah Fitzpatrick as a defensive back ahead of Derwin James is because of, I love Derwin James' fit as a strong safety. I think he's a perfect strong safety. He's a perfect strong safety for the scheme the 49ers run. Looking for the Cam Chancellor type, that's Derwin James. He can blitz off the edge. He's big enough and stout enough and tough enough to play like a linebacker, but he can cover as well. He's got range. He could play safe, free safety too. He could play some linebacker. Even people are talking about him being a weak side linebacker. Yeah, he could probably do some of that. He could even probably play some corner in this scheme because he's so athletic and he's got that size that the 49ers like in their cornerbacks. But to me, he's such a perfect strong safety that he's just that for me. He's a strong safety in this scheme, and that's it. Whereas Minka Fitzpatrick, I would rank Derwin James higher as a strong safety, but I would rank Minka higher as a free safety, a corner, a slot corner. So that's why Minka gets the higher grade for me here. Both very good players. Sky's the limit for Derwin James, just an amazing athlete, but just didn't have quite as good a film as Minka Fitzpatrick did, in my opinion. Moving on to the last player in tier number two, number seven on my board, that is edge rusher from Boston College, Harold Landry. He's the last of the players that I'd be okay with going pick number nine, and that's why this tier ends here. Harold Landry is super athletic. He's a dynamic fit at that Leo position. If you look at players who played that position in Seattle, it was Cliff Averill, 6'3", 250 pounds. You look at Yannick Ngakoue, who played under Robert Saleh in Jacksonville, undersized edge rusher, very similar size, 6'2", 6'3", 250 pounds, not even as athletic as Harold Landry. Harold Landry didn't have the greatest senior year because he had an ankle injury he was dealing with, wasn't quite right all year, had a ton of sacks, 16 and a half sacks, led the nation in sacks and ton of pressures in 2016. He's speed edge rusher. I mentioned earlier about that missing piece on the defense. He completes that set, the super athletic speed edge rusher. The reason he's not as high as someone like Bradley Chubb, he's not as complete. He's nowhere near as good of a run defender. You don't want him as a hand in the ground, you know, early down, first down, run stuffing sort of a defensive end. He's not that guy, but he could maybe play strong side linebacker on early downs for the 49ers at his size. And maybe that's even the position the 49ers want to use him at. Strong side linebacker. He's sort of setting the edge on defense on early downs, doing some of those things, and then puts his hand on the ground and rushes against right tackles on third down. And he was actually better against right tackles in college than left tackles just because he has that athletic advantage. But he's not there yet. He needs to improve his counter moves. He needs to improve his strength, turning that speed into some power and just going through offensive linemen sometimes. He just needs to improve those things. And you see it sometimes, and then sometimes it disappears, and he just tries to run around tackles all day long, and he's not going to be able to do that in the NFL. So some refinement for sure, but he could absolutely be the best pass rusher in this draft. That's why he's finishing off my second tier in this big board for the 49ers. You are listening to the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local daily sports podcast network. If you would like to advertise with us and reach thousands of loyal 49ers and NFL fans, local and national sponsorships are available. Email me at lockedon49ers@gmail.com to learn more. All right, moving on to tier three and tier four here, which kind of finishes off the rest of the first round. And a lot of these guys I'm hoping and will be there in the second round. So Connor Williams is going to start off the rest of this for me. And the thing I like about Connor Williams is a similar boat to Harold Landry, is that better in 2016 than he was in 2017 because he was dealing with injuries. Connor Williams, the reason I like Connor Williams, the reason I think he's a dark horse for the 49ers is because he has that athleticism that the 49ers would be able to utilize at guard as a young player, but he's a future tackle in the NFL, potentially a left tackle in the NFL. That's so valuable. And again, these are the trade down guys. If you trade a decent way down into the first round, and I would still hope if they traded down a few picks, if they traded down to 12 or 15, I would still hope they could get someone, the guys in that second tier that I already talked about. But if they move down further, they're going to have to be picking from possibly one of the players listed here. Connor Williams, number eight for me on the big board. The reason is he's got that ability to play guard in the NFL. He's got athleticism to fit with what the 49ers are looking for, I think, in an interior offensive lineman. But he's a future offensive tackle in the league, potentially a left tackle. I think he will be a left tackle, if not year one, eventually. And I think that's important for the 49ers. Joe Staley's not getting any younger, 33 years old. The end could be near, could be 2 years away, and they would have a ready-made left tackle groomed to go. And it's still the jury's out on Trent Brown, as good of a pass blocker as he is from an athletic profile, not exactly the player that I think Kyle Shanahan would be going out and looking for and signing or drafting, but they have him already. So he's still unsigned after this season, his last year of his contract. Are they dangling him in trade? There were some conspiracy theories about that with all the praise he heaped on him for no reason earlier in the offseason, talking about how he's the best pass-blocking tackle he's ever seen. Connor Williams, it's an interesting pick. It's a dark horse pick for the 49ers. I think he could be a standout guard for a long time, but potentially a left tackle. That's why he ranks at the top of this next tier. Number nine, another offensive lineman staying there. Another tackle-guard combo. This is Isaiah Wynn out of Georgia. A less of a offensive tackle's body in the NFL, which is why he is after Connor Williams for me, but maybe a better guard prospect in the NFL. He's going to be an awesome guard in the league. I just don't know if you draft someone that early if they're solely a guard. And I don't know. I get the feeling Kyle Shanahan is not in of the mindset where he's going to draft a guard as early as, say, I would with the way I've listed out these players. Isaiah Wynn's going to be a stud NFL player for a long time. The next guy on my board is not the perfect fit for the 49ers, but he's here and he's in the top 10 because he's such a good player. Denzel Ward, cornerback out of Ohio State. Sort of an undersized, skinny corner, doesn't meet the length that the 49ers are looking for as a prototype on the outside. Could be a fantastic nickel corner, though, and still a player that could play outside. I think he'll be higher on other teams' boards than he is for the 49ers. Not likely he ends up in San Francisco. Next on the list for me, and I got to put him here because he's so dynamic, and he's dynamic as a receiver, Saquon Barkley, running back out of Penn State. This is very high for me to put a running back, by the way, at 11 overall. But he's so good, and he's, again, like Denzel Ward, he's not going to be around by the time he gets to the point where, and he's not even going to be around at pick number 9, I don't think, for the 49ers to even worry about. But he shows a lot of the traits that the 49ers liked in Jerick McKinnon, except for he brings those traits as a 330-pound running back. So sky's the limit for Saquon Barkley. Needs some work as being more decisive as an interior runner, but he's a dynamic athlete, a good character guy, high character player, and going to be an awesome receiver in the NFL. So look out for Saquon Barkley in those PPR leagues for whoever he gets drafted by. You got to be throwing him the ball. He's a weapon on offense, and that's why he ranks high. And there's a big gap between him and the other running backs because of the passing weapon that Saquon Barkley could be at the next level. So you're talking about receivers. He's ahead basically mostly because of his receiving skills, ahead of my first receiver I have on the list. That's Calvin Ridley, comes in at number 12, wide receiver out of Alabama. Kyle Shanahan likes separation. Calvin Ridley gives you separation. He's got some deep speed to go along with it. Not an above the rim type of player, not a big bodied guy, but he can get open. He can catch the ball. He can run away from you. He's going to be a good pro. Next on the list, number 13 overall, Vita Vea, defensive tackle from Washington. He's a nose tackle, but he's so athletic as a nose tackle that he could stay on the field for third downs. Not a dynamic pass rusher because he's so huge, 340 pounds, but he moves so well. Reminiscent of Haloti Ngata, not quite as good of a prospect. I loved him coming out of college. He was one of the first drafts I was really getting into the NFL draft, and I loved him. He would have ranked in my first tier, probably, and Haloti Ngata was a freak of nature, and he's still a pretty good player, even though he's getting older. Vita Vea is in that mold, a people mover. You cannot move him out of the way. He can be a stud nose tackle, but he's athletic enough to play like 3-4 in a defensive end in a 3-4 scheme, for example. So Vita Vea, awesome player. He deserves to be this high. Might not be a perfect fit for the 49ers. Might not be someone they're willing to draft this high, but he deserves to be at this spot on the list. And in the same token, Maurice Hurst is my next guy, and he finishes out this tier of players, number 14 overall for me. Defensive tackle out of Michigan, very different shaped defensive tackle than Vita Vea. He's the under tackle. He would be the DeForest Buckner position. He would be the three technique, and he's a gap shooter. 6'2", 290-something pounds. Aaron Donald mold. Poor man's Aaron Donald, if you will. He had a heart condition that they got worried about at the combine. Looks like all that's been checked out. That might have hurt his stock a little bit, but he will absolutely be worth a mid-first-round pick, I think. A pass-rushing, a quick, undersized, gap-shooting defensive tackle. Maurice Hurst out of Michigan, player I really like. So there's a little bit of a gap there, and those are sort of the late, you know, if you trade down, those are the first-round types. Maurice Hurst wouldn't be someone I'd want to draft. Probably Vita Vea either, just because need might not match up with value. Some of these players I might even have to sneak in a different guy just because, man, it's like, how do you draft Maurice Hurst even though he's worth the pick when you have DeForest Buckner already there and you've already got a bunch of interior linemen, right? Same with Denzel Ward. How do you draft a guy who you don't have a spot for that doesn't fit the scheme you're running? So there's, you know, some imperfect fits here, but some of these players just deserve to go here. And in the end, you got to draft good players. All right, we're going a little long here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to break this podcast off here, and I'm going to finish up the rest of my big board, taking you through the rest of this tier through 29 overall players on my initial big board for players that I'm hoping to have a chance at through round one and two for the 49ers. So we're going to finish off the big board on Thursday's episode and then also kick off the mock draft, the slow-moving mock draft that we're going to go through April and have a different writer and a different host, hopefully from the Locked On Network for a lot of these, to come on and talk about their team and talk about what might be happening and then make a selection for that team. And we're going to go down the list and do a mock draft that way here on Locked On 49ers. Should be a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun last year, so we'll do that again through April. All right, be back with part two of the big board tomorrow and with Mr. Jeff Lloyd picking number one for the Cleveland Browns. All right, that's going to do it. Talk to you guys tomorrow right here on Locked On 49ers.